The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
We welcome you back. The final hour has arrived. It's been quite a day. Joe Tessitore, we had McElroy, Commissioner Kramer, and still more guests to come as we begin to put a capper on last night. Let's get back to the calls at 855-242-7285. And John is up next in New York. Hey, John.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
We are well. Thank you.
I had a question about Sark and Texas. Do you think Sark will be able to build the Texas program fast enough to be the first Saban assistant to beat Saban when the Longhorns play the Crimson Tide in a year and a half?
No, I don't. I think that's a lot to overcome. I think he's inherited a good program. It's certainly not bereft of talent, but it is certainly also not on the same level as Alabama. Nor do I think it will be in 2 years. Cat Daddy, hold on a second. Let me go to John next. Hey, John, go ahead.
I think that's a lot to overcome. I think he's inherited a good program.
Okay. Teresa is in Texas. Hey, Teresa,
Hello?
Go right ahead. Hey.
Yes, I was calling because I wanted to, first of all, congratulate all the Alabama players for the great season we had. I'm going to miss watching them, so we really want to thank them for entertaining us. And I wanted to come in about Nick Saban. One thing about Nick Saban, he never, ever criticizes other teams or players. He always says something positive about him. So I think that's what is going to make him a great coach. He continues to be a great coach, I should say, because he never, ever criticizes people, and he's always positive. So he's a great man. But the reason I'm phoning is about a week or two ago, a guy called from the Houston area, and he was commenting on the Bill O'Brien possibly going to Alabama as an offensive coach. And I do think that he was a total disaster in Houston. And I held my breath, and I'm praying that Nick Saban gets somebody else. If not, Alabama fans, we may go from being number one to somewhere in the middle of the pack, because I don't think he's going to be able to relate to the players in any way, and I don't think that he has enough energy to even command their attention, and I don't think he can design plays like the other offensive coaches they've had. So I agree with the guy that called from Houston. We got to see him every week. He has to go on TV and have an interview. And it was just a disaster here. So I thought, no, they're not taking this nightmare from Houston to Alabama. So I'm holding my breath that we don't get news that Nick Saban hired him. I don't think he'd be able to coach up those young boys that go there to be coached up. So I really wanted to say that, and that was the main reason I'm calling. I'm just holding my breath that we don't get him as a coach for Alabama, because it's not going to work out. But I do want to thank Nick Saban. I just think he's such a great guy, the way he developed the character of the team, and I hope that they keep that with them when they go forward. So that's basically what I wanted to say.
Thank you very much. Appreciate
it. Okay, thank you.
By the way, ESPN is reporting that the Philadelphia Eagles have reached out to Lincoln Riley about coming there to be the head coach. That's a pretty storied franchise. Lincoln Riley would, if he took the job, would be reunited with Jalen Hurts, who was at the game last night in the Alabama locker room and, of course, played his final season at OU and was a Heisman finalist under Lincoln Riley. Interesting story there. Let's check out Augie, who is up next in New Orleans. Hey, Augie.
Hey, Paul, wow, that lady really did not like Bill O'Brien, right?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, Paul, so, okay, Alabama's had Nick for a while. Can we have our coach back?
You got him.
Okay, thanks. You can have Ogeron. We'll take Saban back. But, Paul, clearly the biggest winner in the SEC was Saban and Bama. But how would you rank the other teams as far as programs, as far as winners, losers? I think A&M and Ole Miss definitely go in the winner's column.
Yeah, no, A&M was a tremendous winner this year.
I think so. And you got Vandy, Tennessee, LSU. I would put State in that loser's column, also with them, along with South Carolina. Any disagreement there?
Not much.
Where would you rank Auburn? I mean, they didn't do so well in the bowl game. Malzahn got fired.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to call it a success when your somewhat successful coach gets fired.
And I think Kentucky, Arkansas, Mizzou, Georgia might have been a bit of a disappointment, but they picked it up at the end. And then Florida kind of definitely fell apart in the bowl game. But I think those teams are kind of in the middle of the pack as far as the season went. What do you think about that?
Yeah, no argument.
And I got to give props to Jeff from Ohio. He did call in to face the music. But, Paul, wouldn't you have to agree that whoever wins the SEC championship, that's really been the national championship for the last couple of years, didn't you say? I mean, that one time or so Clemson got in, but...
Well, there are two exceptions to that. And you know one of them, LSU in 11 and Georgia in 17.
I mean, were we going to continue to see the Big Ten into the college football playoffs this year? I think Cincinnati would have definitely been a better show for the money.
Oh, Augie, I mean, are you serious? Are you out of your mind?
I'm serious, Paul.
Cincinnati, I mean, Ohio State dismantled Clemson 2 weeks ago. Cincinnati could not beat Georgia.
But look what Ohio State barely beat Indiana. Ole Miss beat Indiana.
Okay. Well,
Ole Miss really gave
Augie, come on. If we're going to have an intelligent conversation, you have to understand the circumstances of every game, and you're just going all over the place tonight. I mean, I know, I realize it's the year anniversary of one of the great days in your life, but you shouldn't be so cranky about
it. It was the greatest team of all time, but you got to give Ole Miss props. They had a really good team this year. They just didn't have any defense, and as far as I'm concerned, I think that game against Bama was one of the best games of the year. I mean, that was going pretty good until late in the fourth quarter, and then Bama pulled away.
That is true. Cat Daddy, we'll try to make some more sense with you. How are you, Cat Daddy?
Doing fine, Big Paul. You're looking good, sounding good. Who was that fella on Caldwell Show Friday and said the game would be over at halftime? What was his name again?
That was Buckeye Earl.
You ain't right. No, I'll tell you what, Paul. You're about talking about the greatest football game they ever saw. I'm going to go back to the NFL, the Immaculate Reception.
Oh, yeah, that was
amazing. Have they ever gone back and looked at that tape? Because, I mean, if we'd have had the video and audio and the stuff they got nowadays with technology, do you think he actually caught that ball?
Probably not.
I agree with you. But getting back to Alabama, congratulations. I do understand from a friend of mine that lives up in Dayton, Ohio, that he has not heard a Lynyrd Skynyrd song all day long.
That's too bad. I'm trying to understand the true meaning of non sequiturs, but the last two calls just seem to converge. Let's see if we can get this thing back on track. And how about Guy in Ohio? Hey, Guy, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, how you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Hey, I think last night's game was the greatest game I've ever seen, but I'm a Buckeye fan, but Alabama dismantled my Buckeyes. And I just got to hand it out to the whole Alabama team. That was the greatest team I have ever seen in my life.
Yeah, I think they certainly were. Hey, appreciate the call. We're heading to a break. 855-242-7285 is our number. We appreciate you being a part of the program, and we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. We are appreciative of you being here on the final hour of the day after. Joe Goodman joining us now. He is the columnist for AL.com. Of course, spends a lot of his time covering the Crimson Tide. And Joe, thank you for making time. So many places to begin, but let's start with your just guttural reaction to what you saw last night in Miami.
Just the biggest takeaway, I think, was the phenomenal way that this team came together.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
In the spring, in the summer, and formed a strong bond before they even stepped on the field, and that was when they marched to the schoolhouse door. And that really solidified who this team was. And then they felt the great need to go out and prove themselves, like no team ever has before. They had that commitment to each other, and I think that was the big X factor for them the entire season, to go through 11-game schedule the way they did.
Joe, you mentioned something interesting, because that was an important flashpoint back in the aftermath of the tragedy with George Floyd. And as you know, because I know you've written about this, Nick Saban took some heat for doing what he did.
He did, but at the same time, it was brave. It was courageous for the entire team to do that. And I think that really brought them together. That was the moment where, they said we're gonna choose this platform, and now we have to go back and we have to, really just take everything that they committed to, and prove it on the field. It means so much more now, what they did. Back in the summer, because of the season that they had and the commitment that they had to each other. And you saw Nick Saban in tears after the game in Miami, and he was overcome with emotion. And I think that emotion stretched all the way back to the summer.
Talking to Joe Goodman, the columnist from AL.com. Let's talk about Nick Saban here, Joe, because he's become such a huge part of this story. I don't think there's really a lot of debate about his place in history, but I am interested in your view of his role in all of this, especially coming back from a disappointment last year on top of a 28-point CFP title game loss the previous year. This is pretty remarkable in terms of his historical proportions, what he, as the leader of this team, has been able to accomplish.
The way they lost to Clemson in San Jose, it really felt like Dabo Sweeney was about to be the king of college football. And the way that Nick Saban responded, and they came back, and even after Tua was injured, and you kind of... you kind of have to chalk up last year to the injury. But this season, and then going into next year now, and I've been really thinking about this, the way the recruiting class has shaken out for them, you know, some of the defenders that they have coming back. This is, you could really make the case that this is the beginning of the third act for Saban. Like, this isn't him riding off into the sunset by any means. I mean, he is better at his job right now, I think, than he ever has been. And maybe it took a little softening around the edges to bring that out of him. You know, I guess we'll see next season. I'm fascinated by this team now.
Third acts are usually the shortest and the concluding act of any great play, Shakespeare or not. I'm interested in how can anyone, and I know you're not predicting, you're just stipulating, but to try to figure out what is next for him, because there are no mountains to climb in terms of history. Yeah, you can add to it, but describe, Joe, what you think is ahead, if you could take a guess.
I just think he's going to try to continue to dominate college football like no one ever has before. You know, he has found himself at this unique time for the sport. There are only four teams that are allowed in the college football playoff. It is turned into an invitational. And Alabama is the best of the best. Nick Saban can go out and he can get whoever he wants. And he is, above all else, the best recruiter in the history of college football. Look at his secondary that he was able to field last night in the national championship of Ohio State. Four kids were from South Florida, okay? They had a kid from St. Thomas, Aquinas. They had a kid from Boyd Anderson, Daniel Wright, who, of course, is Major Wright's brother, the famous safety for Florida. You know, he can just go get whoever he wants. Why would you walk away now? I mean, this team is going to be set up for the next, I don't really know. I don't even want to put out a number, you know, because the way that Nick Saban has it rolling now and the way the sport is kind of, I mean, let's face it, it favors teams like Alabama right now and Ohio State and Clemson, but especially Alabama.
Living in the shadow of Nick Saban, as you do, describe to people around the country what his stature has been like, and probably not going to change much. Just, you know, winning a national championship is not an unusual event, but just what is his effect on that state, which does catch a lot of flack for things other than college football?
From a cultural perspective, Paul, I think Nick Saban at this point in history is extremely valuable for the state of Alabama. Look at this football team that he just put together. Najee Harris is a running back from Northern California. He brought that player to Alabama, and he helped lead a march for civil rights before the season started. You know, he's affecting the culture right now, and you know, in a lot of ways, that's bigger than football. You know, Bear Bryant,
no doubt.
Bear Bryant did it a different way. At the end of his, and you can speak to this, of course, better than anyone else, but he was larger than football. And I think Nick Saban, in this third act that we're talking about, he can be that, but in a different way.
I'm interested, Joe, before you go. We understand the football part of it. But from your perspective, what would you like to see him do in terms of affecting that culture? I mean, we know he already has done so. You've eloquently pointed that out. But what else would you like to see him do?
You know, he can really just lead by example, winning games, I mean, dominating the sport of football, okay, and bringing in players from across the country to Alabama. You know, it says something right now, and, yeah, Alabama out of the sports arena, of course, has been in the news, okay, with Mo Brooks, the representative from Huntsville. He's going to be possibly censured by the Senate floor, okay? I'm just putting this out as an example. Well, Alabama football and Nick Saban and bringing in all these cultural, all these different cultures from across the country, you know, it shows that Alabama can dominate and be progressive in a different kind of way. And I think that's really positive for the state.
Joe Goodman, columnist for AL.com. We appreciate your time very much. We are heading to a break and we'll get your reaction to all of that. And more as we continue this program. 855-242-7285 is our number. We deeply appreciate you being here on quite a program the day after the national championship.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Of the program, and we heard from him yesterday, and he warned the Buckeye fans to slow down with the boasting. Legend is up next.
What's going on, Coach? What's going on, baby?
Legend, you called it.
Man, I told you, Paul. I told you, but I'm gonna be humble today, Paul. I'm not gonna rub it in. I'm not. All the hell with it. The champ is here! The champ is here! The champ is here!
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Oh, man, that was curb-stomping personified.
Yeah, man. You know, anybody that watched the Indiana game and seeing them put up 500 yards and half a hundred against Ohio State should have known what Alabama was going to do last night, man. I couldn't understand all the ESPN experts picking a close game. Some of them picked Ohio State to win. I'm like, what in the world? How you get an expert on it next to your name, man? I just don't understand it, Paul. But, you know, you wanted that Buckeye Earl. Jeff, you wanted Alabama, baby, and you got Alabama last night, man. What a team, Paul. Greatest team ever, I think, of Alabama. What do you think?
I do agree with you, yes.
You know, here's the thing, Paul. I hear Notre Dame. I hear Tennessee. I hear Florida. I hear all these teams, Texas, asking the question, can we compete with Alabama in 2 years? And the answer is no, you can't. And it's quite simple, Paul. It's just math. If you don't have 10 five-star players and 30 to 40 four-star players on your roster, you are not going to compete with Alabama, baby. It's an illusion. It's a waste of time. Tennessee is wasting their time with Jeremy Pruitt, Paul. If you don't have that kind of talent on your roster, you're just wasting your time. Am I wrong or am I right with all these teams asking that question?
You are right.
Yeah, thank you, Paul. I love it, baby. I love it. That was a curse. And here's the thing right here. That 4-4 defense, that didn't work, Ohio State. That didn't work. I mean, that was the dumbest defense I ever seen in my life. You came out with a 4-4 defense against the passing offense. That's one of the greatest in college football history. Come on, David. Hey, Paul, what a way to do it. Devontae Smith started with a national title. He ends with a national title. Man, we're so proud of this Alabama team. We love them. Man, they made 2020 bearable. The Alabama nation stands up and salute them. And let me tell the nation, baby, Jeff, the Georgia Bulldogs, the Florida Gators, we're back on the mountaintop, baby. We King Town, they got nothing on us, baby. Chip Stones Rain. Love it.
Thanks, legend. Appreciate the call. Charlie is up next in New York. Hey, Charlie.
Hey, so, Paul, I hate to rain on everyone's parade here, but I don't see, you know, this Alabama win as good for football. I think, you know, it's really just showing all the cracks in how broken the system is for these really, really incredible programs, Alabama especially, obviously, to, you know, exploit the current system, particularly with the 4-team playoff. I don't know how other programs are supposed to compete. Am I being too cynical, Paul?
No, you're not. And I will tell you, the postmortem on this year on this game is going to be negative, not from an Alabama standpoint, but when the audience figures come out, it is going to be very low because there is a fatigue with the playoff and the convoluted way that it works. And I think that is going to send a shock to the system. And I know everyone wants to talk about the positives, and there were many, and we have extolled those positives tonight, but there is an underbelly of what happened last night. And it has a lot to do with, it did not really resonate very loudly and positively with the masses. We're talking about trying to get a lot of people in and watching it, and that didn't happen.
Well, yeah, and I think, you know, the frustrating thing is, you know, it's amazing to see these awesome young people come out and play amazing football, right? But, you know, what's beautiful about sports is, you know, the fact that we can have this fast level of competition. Of course, you see the problem in professional sports too, you know, where smaller market teams can't compete. But it's nothing even close to this. And I don't know how you fix it. Like, I don't think there is an easy fix. I wonder if, you know, the models that are being proposed to the NCAA president with player compensation might actually factor in a little bit. What do you think would be the number
But Charlie, you know what I think is going to happen? And here's the danger. Time ultimately will correct. This is like a market correction if we're sitting there at Goldman Sachs on Wall Street. But all these NIL proposals, I think they're going to help Alabama. Alabama is the players still want to go there, and they're, if you talk about making money off your likeness, who better to make it than with the Alabama fan base?
Yeah, that's definitely true. I guess, I mean, people talk about an 18 playoff. What if you had something even crazier? You shorten the season, a bigger playoff than that. You know, something like a group stage in soccer, a 16 team playoff.
Yeah.
Where variance can strike the better program.
I tell you what.
I think even 8 might not solve it. You know what I mean?
Here's the problem. I've argued this for a long time, and I'm going to continue to argue it. The college football season loses its momentum once it gets past January 1st. January 1st is the biggest day of the year in college football. It's standalone. And what happens every single year, and I lived through it, being at these games and working for, fortunate to work for the people that I work for, is that what happens on the championship game is on a Monday night. What happens on Saturday and Sunday. It's not college football.
Right.
It's the NFL. And when you measure the ratings for what the NFL audiences were Saturday and Sunday versus what the audiences were last night, it's incredible. And it has, you know, Roy Kramer said that earlier, if the game had been better, well, this year wouldn't have mattered. This was as good a matchup. This was the best possible matchup you could get. You had two marquee quarterbacks. You had the two biggest television markets in the country for college football in that matchup, Birmingham and Columbus, Ohio. People just didn't care. This game, you live in New York. It didn't matter in New York. It didn't matter in L.A. It didn't matter in Chicago. It mattered in Alabama. It mattered in Ohio and a few other places.
Absolutely, yeah. And I guess, I mean, I just think maybe I'm just trying to think of a solution. Maybe it's too marred to have that happen. But, you know, what if they wound up playing Clemson, Paul? Would they have scored 100 points?
Yeah.
This is not good.
They,
you know, like,
Charlie, they played the best team out there. I mean, there's no getting around. And thanks for the call. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.